Welcome. Let me quickly introduce myself. My name is Robert Brooks, or Robert Baker Brooks, as my wife tells me now. A session on financial services, economic value with IRM. Excuse me. Just as a sort of intro, I have a career of two halves. First half of my career was spent integration and transforming finance functions. Then I moved into risk and to GRC and got fairly disappointed that we couldn't deliver the same value you could when you're transforming in finance. So what we've done recently at Accenture is developed some research materials and empirical data on value delivered at some of our clients and created, we think, a story around how you can build benefit. So this is not going to be a conversation around GRC, around how you run an efficient GRC. It's going to be talking about how we link IRM into operations. It's hopefully by the end of this this 15 minutes, going to move you into a position where you can articulate the value of IRM as being part of an enterprise platform, as opposed to being a standalone, second line workflow tool. So, I was only given 20 minutes to cover what is quite an extensive research study. So, let's talk about an area that I know a lot of you are concerned about in terms of funding. How do I fund an IRM program? How do I fund a digital transformation program? All of that comes off two basic premises that come from consumer psychology, buying psychology. Gaining a benefit, avoiding a sanction. When we talk about GRC, you know, it started really around the SOX years, around 2000, but came into prominence in most banking, insurance, asset management organizations around the financial crisis. So GRC has been a tool that the regulator has, both processes and technical tooling that the regulators have used to improve the maturity of risk management across organizations. And they've done that through review and sanction. So a lot of the time we're buying GRC tools either to avoid a sanction, a fine, or because some audit point has been raised that you have to do something. The benefit side of the equation, what is the upside of doing this, has been focused on less. That unfortunately is the area where transformation lives, and ultimately, the more benefits you can accrue, the more likely it is you get investment, the more geometric returns you potentially can get from this. It's been very hard to articulate what benefits, what revenue-aligned cost reduction benefits you get from GRC. I'll touch upon why that's easier with IRM, and more importantly, why it's easier because it's on an operations platform. So another comparison I want to make, and I'm again conscious that I've only got 15 minutes, is between the US and the European markets. What we find in Europe is investment comes off the back of sanction and mandatory spend when it comes to GRC. So a lot of the time, you're getting purchases made because there is a point problem that needs to be solved. That point problem is owned by the risk function. They also own the selection of the tooling as it relates to that. So any of you that have spent your years working on GRC before you've come into ServiceNow will recognize that pattern. It's slightly different in the US. So yes, they've had sanction. The regulations are different, but the choice of tool has predominantly remained with the CIO function. So therefore, these problems still need to be solved. But rather than going to an RFP process, the direction is given by the CIO to which tooling. So they actually have a wider prevalence of integrated GRC on the market. They also continue to spend more on strategically on IT than they do in Europe. The difference is something like 40% in the US, 30% over here. because that gap is taken up by mandatory spend, which is kept to one side. So just some stats to throw at you. So again, trying to build a benefits case focused just on the savings you can do within a risk function is hard. It's hard because the data that's produced in a GRC tool is predominantly for risk. It's predominantly manual. If you think RCSA process, risk assessment processes are filled in by people manually. The data is not in the context to be used in other areas, not readily usable in other areas. There's been a number of failed projects within the GRC space. You know, there's a significant number, such that people don't trust the benefits case that are being produced. And I do this as a practitioner and having faced those funding committees also as an end user. Plus the fact that there are only a small number of people that work within risk relative to the organization as a whole. That said, most risk functions want to integrate. So let's just talk about why this is the case, why the story around the benefits case for integrated GRC is hard to build. So you can see I'm leading a little bit here with what we're going to talk about a bit later, which is the integration of operations, security operations, and risk and compliance. Integrating within the risk function means that the benefits need to be felt within the risk function. Really, you're looking at overlaps between control management within risk, the different risk types. So the actual case here is hard. The links into operations and security operations, even for IT GRC and cyber GRC, are manual. A lot of the time we're going to speak to IT people, we're getting information and we're collecting, bringing it back. Same with cyber. Therefore, we're not getting the benefits of the organization. Again, it comes back to sanction. This actually translates to the data, if we look at this in a macro point of view from the GRC market as a whole. So everybody's got their favorite market research firm. We use Markets and Markets. There's about 15 billion market in Europe, predicted by 2024. Only 7% of that is integration, as opposed to 12 in the US. And in terms of annualized growth around integration, this is for GRC in GRC vendors, it's only 7.5%, which is roughly half that in the US. So what I've just been talking about is sort of borne out. There are headwinds within this market, which prevent us achieving integration within GRC risk function that the US has managed. So what do we do? This should be obvious to the fact that we're at a conference talking about an enterprise piece of software. The enterprise software, what I see a lot of at the moment is people using IRM within ServiceNow like a standalone GRC tool. Really, the only benefits you're getting from that is a common platform management, as opposed to what enterprise software is good at, which is integrating data. Why do you want to integrate data? Why is it important with risk? Well, risk gives context to operations. Similarly, you need to have risk-informed data at the point you're doing operations to support things like digital transformation. The key thing in a digital transformation is digital operations and the ability to integrate that data, per Bill's speech yesterday. So, where does ServiceNow sit? Roughly, that green circle covers ServiceNow. If you imagine what we're trying to do with risk and compliance is trying to get a fair reflection and overlay of an organization manually, whereas if we use ServiceNow for ITSM, ITOM, ITBM, we've got the full set of operational data that we can play around with. Linking that back into risk means that we can give context in operations around what is important to the business? What is the biggest impact if things go wrong? Therefore, which of my operational alerts should I look at first? Again, the same thing with security. You know, the problems we have in operations and security are the fact we have lots of people, lots of alerts, and no way of editing this information. And information from risk, if presented in the correct format, can provide that. So, in terms of you building your business case, removing the restriction of only having to build that case within the risk function and extending it into IT, you can get some large numbers, some tangible numbers around this. So, significant portions of IT spend is on operations, as you can see. You know, when you're looking at 15 billion against a 15 billion market, clearly, being able to show benefits of having IRM into IT operations to save or repurpose headcount clearly is a bigger benefit than managing the small numbers of people, the 2-3% that are in risk. Cyber, even more pronounced issue here because the staff don't exist. There's a shortage everywhere around cyber staff. So being able to look at the data in such a way that you don't need to hire or don't need to locate those people is clearly a benefit for all organizations. Never mind the editorial issue around the plethora of cyber attack or defense tools and the alerts and the curation of that alerts into something meaningful for your cyber defense teams. You know, this effectiveness of solutions, it's cyber, as I said, in security, it's a profession that has its toys, there's lots and lots of toys. Being able to bring that together so you can look at it in the right context is something you can do if you align data in IRM into operations. I'm cantering through here because there's 2 minutes left. So, what have we realized in terms of benefits for banks globally? So the study I talked about earlier has done something that I think is nirvana, which is linking operational exposure into operations, i.e. the link between risk and operations improves the your operational exposure. So the ability to be able to look and measure at something and link it from planning around risk, which sits in the risk function, and actual experience of risk and events going wrong within operations means you can manage it. You can set targets on it. You can reduce it. Headcount optimization. We often forget when we're looking at GRC and GRC-related business cases that risk is done outside of the risk function. Practically every operations team has a team, whether they're called risk or not, who manage risk. So there is the opportunity to align and deduplify risk management as it sits across an organization. You know, we don't have the time to go into the nuts and bolts today, but that turns into actual value. That turns into something worth investing in. And when we're having to build a business case within banking and insurance for the front line, you know, having that tangible value, that tangible benefit, the reduction in red cap, all are things the front office are interested in. Operational loss reductions, again, the pure fact you can now watch. Plus, if you think about the way that operational capital is calculated, if we do things to fix processes today, that's not reflected in our red cap figures because it didn't form part of the calculation. The standardized approach does not allow for you as an organization. It comes off the back of your assets, the way you run your organization. So being able to prove that puts you in a good position with the regulator. Obviously, we're talking about innovation here. I mean, this is a drive to digital transformation. It becomes a key determinant of making risk-informed operational decisions. Aligns with strategy. And look, market share erosion, this is around fintech. This is around the fact that there are nimbler organizations coming in that do have that view of linking what is done in operations to the way that money is built, money is created within the organization. So, I've now got 5 minutes for questions, I believe. I'm sure there's lots of things I could have added here, but please ask away if you'd like me to clarify. Go on, Shiva. Sitting right in the front.
I don't know if I can ask a question. I work directly under you.
Ask away. Now, look, the point here really is, I mean, I've had a number of conversations over the past 2 days with organisations that are looking to build business cases around this. You know, the hard thing is, if you have IRM sitting in an enterprise tool, the value it can derive and the benefits it can derive come off the back of the data. And if you don't use that data, you don't link that data, you don't get the benefits. There's not a like-for-like comparison between a standalone tool that's designed just to manage a small framework and an enterprise tool that has the ability to manage data. Sorry.
So my question is, we're using the CMDB to determine if tools or components are outdated.
Yep.
So we're using that kind of report, and you said, which in my operational alert should I look up first? So this is one thing where we are doing already some kind of risk prevention. I assume our risk function would ask me, why should I pay for IRM or GRC if we're doing that anyway?
Understood. So you asked a different question than I thought you were going to ask here. Right, so when we talk about integration, so I wasn't able to draw the distinction early on between integrated GRC, which is horizontal integration within a risk function, and vertical integration, which is sort of mid to back office integration. Within horizontal integration, you join by control. The common thing across all risk silos really is control management against identified risks. When you're looking at vertical integration, it's by the asset library. So to answer your question here, you've got your CMDB. Your CMDB fundamentally manages your assets in IT operations, in security operations. It's also the basis by which you run an IT risk framework. So having all three of those aligned and having a library which is of quality is actually how you do the join point. So to answer your question, why IRM? Ultimately, you need to be linking in decisions around policy, appetites around risk, and being able to link that into the assets along with things like alerts, along with criticality of assets that you do in operations. So the point is that ultimately, IRM gives context, business impact, and allows it to be linked to the things that operations care about.
I have one question on your slide regarding the IT spending.
Yes.
And you mentioned then, of course, that there's the relationship between the...
All one. Carry on talking, I'll try and get the slide up. That one, this one here.
What happened that year?
In 2008 is just the date of the report, I think.
Oh,
yeah.
Like
no.
We could have like analytics now that if something like this happened, we can expect like huge number of security, like cyber attacks or something like this.
It's just on the report. I mean, ultimately, if you're able to link what's happening within cyber defense and you get real telemetry for this, it can actually influence the way you set your risk posture in information security. So, you know, information security or cyber frameworks, you know, that direct line of sight gives almost a real-time feedback. Number of alerts, you know, incidents that are coming in from a cyber nature, you can now look at your posture. It's that two-way interplay where a lot of the benefits come from. But no, 2019, don't think was a special year. It's just when they report. Anybody else? I think I'm 30 seconds left, so we've got time for one more question, if there is any. Nope. Well, thank you very much for coming. Thank you for your time, and we'll see you.